Hi, is that George?
Yes, it is.
Hiya, George. It's Billy calling back from MMA Legal regarding the Scottish redress case. We had a conversation earlier on.
Yes, I am.
Perfect, no problem. So I'm just going to pull up a file for you and I'll make sure the details we've got on the application are correct. So we have it as George Baltzell. Sorry to pronounce your name wrong, is that correct?
No, that's correct. Yeah, Baltzell.
Z-E-L-L. Perfect, no problem. And if I am correct, we've got an email on file for you. It's georgebaltzell32@gmail.com.
That's correct, yeah.
Perfect. And is this the best contact number for you if the line disconnects for any reason?
Yeah, best course.
Perfect. And can I please ask you for your date of birth there, please, George?
24/10/1976.
And can I also please ask you, darling, for your home postcode where you're living at the moment, please?
S for Freddy, K for Kilo 5, 3,
yep.
D for Delta, F for Foxtrot.
Perfect. And what's the door number, darling?
Number 9. And it should be 9 Green Hughes Tennis Mill.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you for that. And can I please ask you, in regards to yourself, have you ever been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses or have you ever... Have you got terminal illness at the moment by any chance?
No.
No problem, perfect there. And could I please ask you, growing up before you was placed into care, do you remember the area of where you did grow up?
Yes, Bonnie Bridge.
Bonnie Bridge was that?
Bonnie Bridge, yeah.
No problem. And I'm assuming would it have been them, their local authority that put you under the care system?
Yes, it's Falkirk Social Work Department. Grimson, yep, Grimson.
No problem, perfect, thank you for that. And how old were you when you was actually placed into the care system?
I think I was 8.
8 years old, no problem.
Yep.
And I don't expect this to be everything that you do remember correctly. This is just so we've got a brief understanding.
I just want to reassure you.
You're going to have to go face anyone. That won't be the case. Your statement is what we will pay you out on, and we just need to locate yourself.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Yeah.
Growing up, was it just you placed into care, or did you have any siblings in care with
no,
you?
No, I had my sister. It was my sister that my sister got abused, and I got abused before we were placed into care by a babysitter. No, I've dealt with it. You know, it's one of the things.
And is that the reason why you was placed into care?
Yeah, well, my sister was placed into care for that at the time because I brought, you know, to light. After that, they found out that I'd also, you know, suffered it as well.
What's
your sister's
name, darling? Delmarie. And do you have a contact with her at all? Do you have a relationship with her?
No. We did have contact up until maybe 20 years ago. And then contact broke down because I came back to my biological parents. Well, my biological mother, who was not part of... and my sister basically stayed with the adopted parents.
That makes sense. So then, of course, that just ruined the relationship over time.
Yeah, because I still have contact with my niece and nephews. That's from my sister, but my sister and myself, we have a... we basically speak maybe once every... 3-4 years.
Just to say,
hiya, how you doing? But my niece and nephew from my sister, I still speak to you.
Perfect. Now, can I please ask you, what was your mum's name, darling?
It was Elizabeth Kirk McCauley. That's her maiden name. Her married name was Elizabeth Kirk Liston.
And is it Kirk spelled K-I-R-K?
Yep.
Perfect. And can I please ask you, do you know what your dad was called?
Thomas Edward Liston.
And is it Liston spelled I-L-I-S-T-O-N?
Yep.
perfect. Thank you for that. And can I also please ask you, whilst the claim is ongoing, I understand this is not going to be the case. Well, I hope this isn't the case, but we just need to cover it to be on the safe side, that if the worst was to happen to you with the next few months whilst the claim is going through, have you got a beneficiary that you would be happy for this payment to go to if anything was to happen to yourself?
That would be Emma Bullshaw.
Emma, and is it Bullshaw spelled B-U-L-S-H-A-W?
No, Bullshaw as in B-A-L-T-Z-E-W-L.
Oh, sorry, name. Sorry, yeah. I do apologise. Yeah, I didn't realise.
Yeah, that's
that your partner?
Yeah, that's my wife.
Wife, no problem. And do you by any chance know her mobile number? If you don't, I can get it at a later date, it's just so I've got it on the system for you.
Emma, do you know your mobile number up at hand?
077.
077.
Yep.
If I see you going to see if anything happens to me, my wife would have my phone anyway. So the same number as myself.
I'll just pop your number down then.
Yeah, because my wife would take my phone and my wallet and...
and everything.
No, you're laughing. No, I'm serious. My wife would take everything. She'd be like, where's his wallet? Where's his cash cards? Where's his credit card? And then she'd be like, oh, by the way, how's my husband?
You wouldn't want it any other way, would you?
No, I love it. But actually, just found out we're going to have another baby.
Oh, congratulations. That's really good.
Yeah.
Is this your second child then?
No, this will be our eighth.
Ooh,
no. Between the two of us, it's not just eight from one woman.
Oh.
I was going to say I come from a family of five, but I was going to say eight's quite a big family,
but at least that's...
Yeah, this will be our first together. Our first together.
Oh, well, congratulations to you both.
Yeah, anyway, right, so let's carry on. Sorry.
No problem whatsoever. Can I ask you, do you remember the first place where you was placed when you was taken into the care system?
The first placement would have been, I was placed at... Margaret and Matt Cousins. Margaret and Matt Cousins. I can't remember the street name, but it was Cole Snorton. C-O-L-E. Cole Snorton.
C-O-L-E-S.
S-N-G-H-T. And in Stirlingshire, that comes under, doesn't it? Cole Snorton?
Stirlingshire,
yeah.
And was this like a foster family placement for an
assessment? Yes, it was. Myself and my sister should have been kept together at all times. That was put down as a court order. Then they moved my sister to... My sister got put to, and I can actually give you the address... 105 Pendleton Place, Bowness, which was without the court order. Now, the social work order stated that George and Adele do not get separated.
And how long were you here for before they, how long was you with the family altogether, should you say?
Margaret and Matt were brilliant, absolutely amazing foster parents. I was happy there. Adele was in 105 Pendleton Place, and we were separated for, I would say, 5 months.
How long would you say you was with Matt and Matt for? Margaret and Matt for?
About six months.
About 6 months. And 4 months in, would you say that they moved your sister?
No, they moved my sister from the day they took us. The court order stated that we should not be separated. You know, so when social worker
that's
we went
that's to, neglect straight away. They should be separated.
Right, yeah, so
away from
we went to we went to we, right, I was eight. Adele's nine. There's 9 months, 11 days between myself and Adele. So we went to that children's panel hearing thing.
Yeah.
Right, and the turning said that because of what happened, Adele and George don't get separated, but Falkirk Social Work Department did not have a placement to take two children. So what they did is, they said, right, cool, we'll keep them together, and they separated me and Adele that day. Now, I'd spent every day of my life with my sister because we were brought up like we were twins. We're 9 months, 11 days apart.
When you're there going through such a horrible time at home together, you're only each other's comfort at that time. You're only trusting within each other as well, which is obviously, it's life-threatening at a situation like that. You've been taken from what you know at home.
That day, they separated us, and they put me into Coolsnorton, a girl into 105 Pentland Place, Bowness, and separated us for 3 months. They let me see my sister once a week for 2 hours. Then, because my mum had to take it back to court, because I don't know if this affects things, because we are brought up as Catholics, my mum wanted to keep that, you know, the Catholic religion going, yeah, all that kind of thing. They put me in a Protestant school, a Delna Catholic school, and they tried to limit the contact between myself and Adele once a week. So sometimes I would get to see her, you know, for 20 minutes or whatever else. Till my mum took it back to court, then they moved me to 105 Pentland Place as well. And this is where they're...
So can I just ask you when you was in... okay, so it started when you was moved to 105?
Pentland Place, yeah.
Then he was moved to 105. How old... Was it Pendleton Place, did you say, sorry?
Pendleton, P-E-N-E-L-T-O-N, Place, Bowness, that's B-O-N-E-S-S.
And could I ask you, was this a care home and you just don't remember the name? I'll find the name of it, don't worry.
It was a foster pins called Tommy and Jennifer Mann. Now, this, I've also reported this to Police Scotland. Right.
Thank you now, for letting me know that. Yep.
Yes, because I reported this, it was years later, and what happened is, I was sitting with my ex-sister, I met up with her, and she went, George, do you remember when the, can I swear without you taking offence to it?
Yeah, no, do you go as you need.
So, me and my big sister were sitting talking years later, and Adele went, Georgie, do you remember when he used to kick the shit out of us? And I went, yeah, I do remember, because he was the chief, he was a fireman at the time. Right, so I was 17 when I came back to my real parents. So I got to about 20 and I went, fuck this, I'm going to report this to Police Scotland. Now, within me reporting it to Police Scotland, I reported it to Police Scotland. Now, Police Scotland doing their investigation because it's one of their own, you know, a fireman.
Mm-hmm.
It took Police Scotland less than 24 hours to come back and say he never done anything. So then I contacted Alison Campbell for my records from Viewforth and Stirling. That was the head of the social worker. Alison Campbell, who was my social worker when I was a kid, who now runs, she used to, I don't know, she's probably retired. For her to then turn around and say, we have no record of this. I've asked my records, I've asked for everything, they just get blocked all the way. Now,
exactly. What I just want to explain to you before you go any further is that is exactly what they've said to everybody, that they've lost the files, they don't have access to them. Now, when we locate your files, they most likely won't write down a lot of the things that they've done, and that's why we go for your word, because a lot of people would have actually made remarks
when
against the same people. When
I was 17, I went to a place called Viewforth in Stirling. Now, I was 17, I was a very angry, very, very angry teenager, right? So I got my files from Stirling. But when I got the files, there was a lot of things that were blacked out. See, blacked out in pen. Now, you know, when you read the file, it says blah 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 happened, and then it's big lines of just blacked out, just nonsense. So then when I reported this, and this is only within the past 5 years that we reported it, Police Scotland come back to me within 24 hours and say there's no problem there, because he's one of his emergency services. But then when I dug a bit deeper years ago, I found out that I was not the only child in their care that had reported this to the social workers and nothing happened.
And that's because what I say to people is, unfortunately, the government was allowing this to happen. They knew exactly what was going on, and they covered it up as much as they possibly could, as well as the police. The police was taking, seeing children stood on the side of the road early hours in the morning in their underwear and taking them back to the care homes, not questioning why that is happening, and the kids were crying, refusing to go back. They was allowing it to happen so many times because it was a money-making scheme. It was a money-making scheme for them to build money from it and make money off the children.
I was told years ago, right, see, when I was, I think I was about 17, 18, I'm nearly 50 now, right, that the more kids in care, the bigger their budget.
Exactly that. And not only that, what they was also doing as well is taking children. Somebody refused to go to school one day. That's no excuse to take them away from their family for a year and not let them see the family and treat them so differently. There's so many different kids. Children were being abused at home and then popped into situations where they're being abused again. They had no care to understand where these children were being placed and not looking at the background to make sure it was the correct
The other situation that we had, you know, within this case was when we were obviously kids, right, we got to the age of 11 and my mother was fighting, and I'm fighting against the social services. So they said to my mother, we are going to adopt, get your kids adopted. My mother went, no, you're not. She went, I love my kids. And my mum, you know, she fought them. She turned up to, you know, the care homes, and she said, my kids are upset, everything, I see them, you know, and their access, whatever else. So then they said, you have to sign adoption papers. And my mum went, well, my big sister, that's my mum's sister, can take the kids if they want. And they went, Lisa Marie, Elizabeth, you know, that's my mother. So what they did was, they fucked us off down in England, which was an illegal adoption, and adopted us down in England. And that's why my sister's there.
So you went to your auntie's in England at 11?
No. It wasn't her auntie. It was somebody we never met before. The social
so they actually adopted...
They came in to one of our foster homes. Let us meet somebody for, like, 2 hours one weekend. Then the next weekend, they came up and moved us to England. And we stayed in England.
So I just want to make sure that I've got the correct time frame here, darling, just to be on the safe side. So you and your sister was originally taken off your parents and places, Matt and Margaret. The same day
I was taken off and put place Margaret and Matt. My sister was placed with Jennifer and Tommy Mann.
That was Jenny and Tommy Mann. And yous was with them, you said, for around about, when yous was there all together, if I am correct, you said you was with them for around 6 months, is that correct?
Yep, and then I got moved to Pendleton Place with Adele because my mum, you know, kicked after the social workers and said, you can't support my kids up.
And how long was you at Pendleton Place for when you...
We were at Pendleton Place for about a year until Tommy Mann, that's the fireman, he basically beat the shit out of me because I lost a loaf of bread on a sled. And then they moved us to Lisconnel, Cairns and Alloa.
Was the second place that they moved you after a year, was that to another family?
Pendleton Place, where Adele was. Sorry?
Yeah, so when you was at Pendleton... Sorry, so you was at... I just want to make sure that this is correct. So you was with Matt and Margaret, and then after that, you was then taken back to court with Mum, and Mum wanted you together, and then they've taken you to a Protestant school. How long was you at the Protestant school for?
That was when I was with Margaret and Matt. It would have been the 6 months, you know, I was with Margaret and Matt.
Within the 6 months, that's no problem. And then after that, you was then moved to 105.
105.
And Tommy, where your sister was.
Yep, and they took
us
back.
And how long were you there for about a year?
About a year, I'd say, yeah, until Tommy Mann, it was snowing, it was down in Scotland, right, it was snowing. They sent me and my big sister down with a sled to get bread from the local shop, right. I was probably 9. I'd say 9, Adele was 10. So Adele was pulling me a sled, because Adele always looked after me, you know, when we were kids. On the way back up, we were having a laugh and a joke and whatever else. The bread that he sent us to get, I lost the bread off the back of the sled. I got into the house and Tommy beat me, and I mean beat me like I've never ever experienced in my life. I went to the weekend visit with my mum, you know, how you do that weekend and the office thing. And my mum went, Georgie, what is that on your eye? And I went, Tommy, hit me. And she went, well, fun. I went, a loaf of bread. Then the social worker stepped in. They moved me and Adele out of there and put us to a place with Liz and Colin Cairns.
Liz and Colin Cairns, was that?
Yeah, Liz and Colin Cairns at Grey Craig's house, Alloa.
Great. Could you spell that for me, the best way Gray, you can?
G-R-E-Y. Craig, yeah. House, but it's a big fancy house. It was a really fancy house. A nice foster parents. He was a prison officer. Nice fancy house, and we stayed there for must be about a year and a half. They tried to adopt us, and they went through the adoption process. And then one weekend, Liz, that was the foster mum. She was sitting crying, she went, Georgia, I can't stop it. Because I was really, really close to this family. And Colin came, right, and they went, we can't do this. And I went, what? And they went, Georgia, we tried to adopt you to keep you in Scotland. And the social workers walked in and moved us to Royal Leamington Spa in England. And my mum went, how can you do that? They're Scottish kids. You can't just break the law of a court order.
And then from that, that's when they then adopted you out in Scotland?
No, they adopted us
in England. Sorry, England. Bless you. And then how long was you in England for, darling?
From I was 11 till I was 17. And when I was 17, I stole money to come back to my, you know, my biological family. And I've been here ever since.
Come back home, no problem.
Yeah, but when I came back to my biological family, that money I stole for that train, my mum paid back the following day.
Paid it back the following day. And of course, kids will be kids, and if you're at in a situation and that you can escape and go
and
back
I never, I never wanted to be there in the first place. I'd been beaten in these foster homes, bullied because, you know, the kids, everything else. Going to school with, like, cast-off clothes, bullied. Because the chief fireman, you know, was a foster father, and he's kicking my cunt in and everything else. I was like, nah, I'm not dealing with this. So I went
and
doing
stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry, do you know, just while we are on that topic, just so I can build a case around them, when you were with the care, when you was under the care of the foster parents, Tommy and Jennifer, was they the ones who sexually assaulted yourself and your sister?
No, that happened. It was my sister. It was a babysitter. Yeah, that my mother trusted.
Fact, at home. Okay, no problem.
Yeah,
and when you was with Tommy and Jennifer, was it the case where they did treat you nastily, physical?
Yes,
physical?
Yeah, it was physical. I mean,
Would they ever send you to bed without any food or anything at any time?
Oh, yeah, it happened all the time. I mean, I'm not talking like a smack in the back of the legs. I mean, this guy would come home from a hard shift and basically see his own kids. He had three of his own kids. And he used to kick the shit out of me. And I mean, kick the shit out of me. Like, now, this was raised by my mother because I used to turn up to meetings and my mum would go and look, I trusted a babysitter, you know, with my kids.
Yeah.
Why has my son got bruises on him when he never had that before he left me? Now, I reported this a couple of years ago with the police, and it took them 24 hours to come back and say, no, this fireman wouldn't do this because it's one of your emergency service workers. But it's already in the files that Georgie raised this.
Yeah.
And it just
it's exactly like the person from England. There was somebody in England, it was actually the MP that's now been found for it, from Rochdale, that was sexually abusing children as well down here. It's always the people that you think it wouldn't be who would. Now, that is one of the biggest downfalls that they've got, is obviously the systems are not there to defend you in any way, shape or form. And with you going to them, you're not going to go back to them 20 years later and make these stories up for no reason. Everything will be found as long as they can.
But the point being is, like I said to the police officers, I went, this was reported, I went, just access the files and you will see what I'm saying. And it didn't trigger me until it must have been about 4 or 5 years ago. I was in a shop, and it sounds really, really strange. I was in a shop with my kids. We were doing Christmas shopping, and I turned into my kids and I went, get the fuck out of the shop. I went, let's go. Right, and my car was outside, and my partner, she went, what the fuck, I'm going to get the shop. And I went outside, and I got the kids in the car, and she went, George, what's up? And I went, just, I'll speak to you when we get home. So I went away, and I had a cigarette, came for a couple of minutes. She went, George, I've never seen you look scared in your life. And I went, that's a cunt that beat the shit out of me when I was a kid. And I was so scared, and my kids are there, and my kids are all kids, and they're like, Dad, anything wrong? Dad, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I genuinely was so physically scared, so that's when, I genuinely didn't think it had affected me, and then I phoned the police, and they just brushed it off, and said, ah, fuck it, he's just a fucking idiot.
And it's such a big fail to the system, and that's what I can say to people now, is to say, I know no money will ever take away what you have had to deal with in any way, shape or form, but if we can get your money back, which we can, we will make sure we go full force of it. Now, what they've been doing at the moment is, with the claims going through, they were submitting them, and when we put your claim on, I'll be straight to the point with you, the claims are a minimum of £48,000. That's just a minimum. That's what I can make you aware of before we go any further. Most likely they're looking at a lot more than that, but we can't give any false information.
Yeah, sorry. So the minimum was how much? £48,000.
The minimum average is £48,000, yeah, to go on an independent basis. That's just for people, of course, who have been impacted. But each case is very different, like yourself, being separated from your siblings, being sent down to England. There's a lot of impact and a lot of, obviously, the ways that people have been impacted as well. Now, that is just an average point that we can make you aware of. But, of course, each case will have you...
It could be zero.
They're doing at the moment... When I log your claim on to say everything's going, I'm going to request your files, they will contact you themselves and they're going to say, we can pay you £3,000 up front now. Now, they'll try and get you to accept an under-settlement figure of £3,000. And if you accept that, the maximum they'll go to is £10,000. So if
the way I see it, see if they want me to pay me out, that means that there is something there. So that means that I've got a kit. So that'll be a no. See you later, mate.
Exactly that. That is exactly what I was just going to say to you. They're taking the word straight out of your mouth. Now, in the next few days, basically, I've just sent over a link to you. This should come through to you on a text message right about now. Now, that will come through, and that's so basically you're saying that you're happy for us to get your files. The second we get your files, that's stage one. What the solicitor will then do is prove the places that you was. He'll say, right, Tommy, there's the Tommy address where he's been. And we'll prove that you was within them places because of your files.
Yep.
Now, these social workers never live with you. It's your word against theirs. Now, there's been so many children that would have been under the care of these people, or so many claims made against these people already, where they all come together, and you'll be shocked to understand how they pay out. Now, no one's going to say to you, this didn't happen to you 20 years ago. Basically, this has already been put into an authorisation where your statement is what the value you claim to. So the reason I'm asking you a bit more information than usual is just to basically make sure we've got your case as strong as we possibly have.
But surely, I'm contacting you, 5 years later. Now, this case obviously came to light, beforehand, right? With Adele, and everything else. I contacted the police 5 years ago, so there is that I'm still saying exactly the same thing.
Exactly that.
And when I was 11, that was still on the file. So it's on the file somewhere that this is why we were moved. Then I contacted the police and they just keep brushing it away.
Because what they'll say to you as well is they'll say they've lost your files or they can't provide you your files back because they're third party. Now, when the solicitor requests them files, they cannot refuse them whatsoever. We'll have full access to them. And once we have access to them, we'll own the rights to them then, so we can provide them back to you. Now, as I said to you earlier, we will be happy to give.
Can I also give you the proper surnames in as well, please, right? Because it was obviously, when I first went into care, it was George Thomas Liston.
Let me get that on here for you. Let me just go from here for you. Give me 2 seconds. So when you first went into care, it was George Thomas Liston. Let me get that.
Right. Then I got, Liston. Then your adoption name was George Thomas Willoughby. W-I-L-L-O-U-G-H-B-Y.
W-I-L-L-O-U-G-H-B-Y, was his adoption name?
Yeah, the adoption name, and then when I came back when I was 17, the bulk cell name changed because when I came back when I was 17, my mum had remarried a guy called Brad Bulksell, and so I took his name on because I wanted to get rid of the past and start afresh.
Which is understandable. Which is the name Bolt-Delt. Thank you for that. And could I ask you as well, let me just get that on here at the time. Could I also ask you, what I am going to do just to be on the safe side for you while this case is ongoing at this moment in time, is if anybody contacts you, I'm going to pop a password on the account for you. Now, that way you know who's dealing with your case. Now, I have also just bobbed you a message over on WhatsApp too.
Yeah, I hear my phone pinging. Yep.
Perfect. So that way, if you want to track your claim, if you have any questions, you've got direct contact for me and you've got all your details in one place. What I'm going to do for you as well is I'm going to pop a password on the account. So if anybody does call you and they ask you anything or ask you anything about your money, you say, what is my password? And if they don't know the password, just hang up the phone on them. Now, should I pop it as 8 kids?
No. Can you pop the password as Nicole07?
Nicole07?
Yeah.
Perfect, no problem. Now, what I would need from yourself, sir, is you've had a text message come through, not on the WhatsApp. There would have been an email and a text message come through to you from Zoho. I just need you to give me access to the files and say you're happy for us to request them. Now, if you click on that link for me, I'll help you send that back.
Do you need me to do it now, yeah?
Yes, please.
2 seconds, Paul. I just need to change my glasses. Like I say, I'm getting an old one. I need to do it.
Sorry, don't
Two
worry.
Two pair of glasses now, one for reading and one. Right, so 2 seconds, I'll put you in speak. Right, is it WhatsApp? What message do you want me to?
So if you go on your normal text messages for me, please, first. There should be a link there from Zoho.
I've got a WhatsApp message.
Text message, sorry,
2 seconds.
No problem.
Sorry, text message, yep, 2 seconds, Zoho, Sing Billy, yep.
Yeah, perfect. So if you click on that little link beside it for me, it will take you straight to the page and it should say proceed to documents.
Sorry, pal. Like I say, I'm an old man. I don't know how to...
Do not worry. I don't know how to work all these things.
Either the wife or the kids do it for me. But the wife's here, so...
You can put your wife on. Your wife can do it for you as well. That's not an issue. I'm happy to have a conversation with her.
Proceed to documents, yep.
Yes, please. And then it should then say, agree and accept, I think it says.
Click that. Agree and continue. Yeah. Is that the right thing?
Perfect, yeah. And then it should take you straight to a box that says signature.
Is that the one with the red star?
Yeah, perfect, correct, yeah.
Press that.
Press on the box for me, and it'll bring up 3 signatures in fancy writing. If you pick either of those for me, and then underneath that, there'll be a little tick box that says, I acknowledge, and then you press OK.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, is it one? No, that'd be merely my signature. OK. Right, that should be it, yeah?
Let me see if that's come back through for you, darling. Give me 2 seconds. Yeah, that's perfect. Now, I also require a picture of your ID, just so we know it's yourself that is making the claim. Do you have a driver's licence or a provisional? Because then that way you will need to send that without a letter.
A UK citizen card, a photo ID card.
That's perfect. So if you could send that over, but then we would just need a letter, any letter as well, dated to you in the last 3 months for your check procedure, so we know it's coming to your address as well.
Yeah.
So it'll be a letter of the citizen's card and any letter.
So how do I send that?
So if you can send that over to me on WhatsApp, is that okay with you? Your wife can help.
I'll just take a picture and send it to you on WhatsApp, yeah?
Yeah, perfect. So that would be amazing. So if you can send that over to me on WhatsApp, that would be fantastic. The second I get that over, I'm going to log your claim straight onto the portal for you tonight. Now, what I'm also going to do...
See how you say about proof of address and all that kind of stuff? If I send a picture of my, you know, my UK citizen card and a bank statement with my home address
bank
on it...
Bank statement's fine. Yep, that's amazing. Now, you can cover up your important things on the bank statement. I just literally need to see your name.
God, I've made money. Yeah. No, that's...
Don't worry, I'm the same.
If you wait two seconds, my wife can do it. Apparently, she can do it, you know?
Yeah, that's not a problem. That's perfect.
What's that? You've got to go and what's that?
I know how to do it, George.
And of course, your wife is more than... I'm more than happy for your wife to call up and obviously request updates for you as well, because she's your beneficiary on there. That wouldn't be an issue.
Right, so
she wouldn't need to give me your name and your name.
That number.
That one there. That.
Add.
You need to see the face.
Yep, done.
My wife's done the WhatsApp thing.
Perfect. Thank you for that. That's all great. That's amazing. Now, can I just ask you before I let you go? Obviously, I'm speaking to you now. I understand that you are a very person in regards to speaking to me. You are nice to people. Can you explain it? I understand that you still it.
Sorry, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. Sorry, what
sorry,
was that?
Can I ask you, over time, how has it made you feel? Of course, I can understand you've been an anxious person, and obviously if you bump into them and things like that. Has it caused you to have problems with trusting people and things?
Yeah, it has, big time. Now, myself personally, I've got 5 children. My first relationship was, my first proper relationship was when I was 21, and I had a son, and I never really connected with them because I didn't really know what a family was. Because, you know, it's like you come in, you get passed about, you do this, you do that. And it took me until, I'd probably say about 13 years ago, to actually realise what being a dad is. Yeah, but the
and I mean,
time
of course, you never change the way you are as a person. Of course, your children love you.
But by the time I realised that, it affected my kids. And I wasn't the dad that I should have been, the dad that I know I can be. And then I met my partner. And I've got 2 stepkids. And I started trusting. You know, like you say, no trusting, just... felt loved.
And you also, you know, you've got a bit of a support network there for her, where you do feel like you can be a bit vulnerable.
Yeah, it took all the years for me to actually get to. So I'm not only, this has not only screwed my life, it's screwed their lives as well.
Yeah, most definitely. Does
that make sense? And I mean, but I just don't like the way that, because he was part of the emergency services, he's allowed to get the shit out of the kids. And
not acceptable.
Yeah, but it's not only, I wasn't the only one to put the complaint in. I know there's
a lot
too.
And you're not going to be the only one there'll be a lot more than what you think of. There'll be so many people, like I've spoke to so many different people over the last few weeks in regards to being in certain places and the stories that they'll tell you. And I think I spoke to the same person about this same staff member. I've heard of this before. I heard of a person who was actually impregnated by a staff member and she didn't know if anybody would remember that. And a few days later, I had a conversation with another person that was in the same place who witnessed that. Now, you don't realise how, because this is ongoing at the moment, the money is the only way that people are going to get justice. So that is the only way people are now talking. And that is the reason why it's coming alive. because a few years ago people wouldn't talk because he's getting nothing for talking and they didn't think it was going to go anywhere. Now a lot of people have spoken about this. Nobody's going to make the same stories up about the same people over and over again for any reason. And of course it's been proven now that they was doing it. It was proven that the government was allowing it to happen.
But the good thing is, right, that because obviously the government's going to have to pay this money, and I just hope that somewhere down the line, they see my story, everybody you speak to in that, helps the fact that, see these kids in care now, this doesn't affect anybody else, because it's not...
Exactly right. That.
It's not
Not
right.
acceptable. And you'll also speak to a lot of people and who have actually been through the abuse, and they'll say, but it was a long time ago, it was the 70s, and that it wasn't normal. Children smoking and being provided cigarettes at the age of 11, 12, not acceptable. Being hit, even if it's just having a crack across the head or even on the backside, it's abuse, it's not fair. Making children do things and be in situations they don't want to be in is very uncomfortable.
I mean, it's very, very strange how that it's not very often that, you know, you get these people, you know, all together. But how did I go from a fireman to a prison guard?
Exactly, you know, that. And also, like you say, people in there, they're not going to admit what they've done, but people know. And there's a lot of witnesses as well that have watched certain things like this happen. You'll be shocked to know that how many people have been impacted by this. And like I say, it doesn't take long for it to come to light, because, like I say, there's a person from England who's an English MP from an area in near Manchester called Rochdale. Now, there's another guy that I spoke to who was in the Scotland area, who was in the care, and they'd done the exact same thing, popped him down here in England, where he's been abused again.
But that was illegal. It's illegal to move a Scottish kid to England.
Exactly that. But as it stands at the moment with the English cases, they're running a bit different, so they're not made it a claim where you can claim for the English cases as of yet.
But at the time, you know, when it happened, it was illegal. I'm still a Scottish kid, and you moved us at that time. It's illegal.
Yeah, exactly that. And also, they're taking away from your support network any family that was coming to see you. Being so far away from you, I mean, of course, I know they move your sister down here with you, but again, seeing your family, seeing your mum on the weekends, is stopping a lot of contact. They're trying to obviously keep you separated and trying to change your whole life. And of course, threatening your mum with adopting you out when they know that your mum was more than capable of looking after you and she was interested in you. Of course, she was there fighting for you, but they tried to prevent that, of course, to keep the systems on going. Their own habit. And it's disgusting. It really was.
Like it was back then, right? See, the more kids in care, the higher their budget. And that's the way it was, right? Because we looked into this, see, when I came back when I was 17. My mum even checked this. My mum went away and she made better herself. And she figured out that, see, the more kids in care, the higher the budget that Falkirk Social would get. So they're no interest. They have no interest in coming kids to anybody. Now, these social workers get paid £3,000 a week or whatever it is nowadays. It wasn't that back then. And all it is, we're just money, we're cash cows. We're just money
to them. Another guy that I was speaking to, they kept him in they signed him on till he was 21 and said, if you refuse to leave, we'll pop you straight into prison. So they kept him in the care home being abused until he was 21. Instead of sending him into the prison system, I said, you was at the age of 16, 18 maximum, you could have walked out of that door, but unfortunately they didn't. And it's just horrible what the people have gone through. Now, with your information that you provided with me today, I'm just going to retype everything, how it's impacted your life then and how it's impacted your life now.
I mean, see, when I came out, like, 7 months I came out of that and got in a relationship, I was I committed crimes. I went to prison for 4 weeks. Worst time of my life, you know, breaching bail and everything else, because I had no regard for authority until I found my chef and, you know, my career. And then my big sister, if I hadn't been for Adele, I'd either be like one of these junkies right now or, like you say.
I had no regard for anybody. Keeping you obviously on the straight and narrow.
Yep, and I had no regard for anybody. And if it hadn't been for me coming back at 17, you know, to find my mum, I would probably say, my mum's passed away, God rest her soul, but I'd probably be dead right now. I wouldn't be sitting with my kids right now and, you know, my house and my wife, and I wouldn't be the guy I am right now if
your
I hadn't been back and found my mum. And the whole time, my mum, now, I remember walking at the social work department, see, when I came back. I walked into the same social work department that took me away, and the same social worker that actually took me away from my mum. I go on the train
Mr.
for
Alison
them.
Alison Campbell did, I believe you said earlier.
Yes, right. So I go on a train from a Lincoln Spa, that's down in England, and I go to Glasgow. That's where the train, you know, gets, and I was like, whoa, this is totally different to when I was a kid. And I met this wee old woman, well, she's not old to me at the time, she was maybe about 50. She went, I had a bike and a rucksack, that's all I came back with. And she went, where are you going, son? And I went, I'm trying to get to Falkirk Social. And she went, you come with me, son. She got with me and she pointed me in the right direction. I walked into Falkirk Social Work Department, and I walked in and I went, is Alison Campbell here? And they went, what? And I went, it's Alison Campbell here. And they phoned up the stairs, came to the office, and they went, Alison Campbell, there's a guy called George Willoughby here. She went, don't know him. And I went, tell her it's George, listen. She went, nah. And I went, just tell her George and Dale. Adele's my big sister, but I call her Dale. And she went, I'll be doing two things. She took me in her wee office, and I went, where's my mum? And she went, I've got a number. Your mum's kept this number updated all these years, knowing you would come back, George. And I went, so where is it? And she phoned my mum. Well, came the same number. She never changed the number over the years. And she went, Elizabeth, I've got somebody here. And I went, Mum, can I come home? She went, you should never went away. Where are you? I'm coming to get you. And Alison went, I'll go mad. And my mum turned around and she went, fuck off, you took him away. I'll make sure he comes home this time. And Alison went, he'll be there in 10 minutes. And it was Bonnybridge. And she went, I'll drop you into the street because your mum's going to bother me. And she wouldn't have bothered. My mum's not like that. But, well, then again, you never know. And I've been with my mum since the day she died. And now, with raising the concerns about everything that's happened, this should never happen to me and Adele.
It shouldn't have been taken into the game. To begin with, most definitely.
And that assault from, no, the assault actually from the government staff shouldn't have happened either.
No, it shouldn't, most definitely. Now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to submit this case off. You've got me there on WhatsApp, so if there's anything you need off me over the next few days, over the next few months with the claim ongoing, do not hesitate to bob me a message. I will keep you updated as the days go on.
And of course,
if you have any questions or if there's anything that you want to keep me updated on, you just bob me a message over and I can update the legal team as much as I need to.
Yeah,
okay,
and if there's anything you need, phone me anytime. If I don't get your call, send me a WhatsApp message. And I'll get back to you, you know, when I'm overlooking that.
No problem. Well, thank you so much for having the conversation with me. If there's anything that you need from me, of course, you know where to get me. And I will be in contact with you over the next few weeks with your claim ongoing, darling, okay?
No, not a problem. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your time as well. Have a lovely evening. See you later.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.